Hello, everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. We speak with industry leaders, introducing you to some of the most interesting people and businesses today. We are focused on women, money, and power, as well as diversity in all areas. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Diane Gubin, co-CEO of C-Suite.
And I'm Beth Hilbing, co-CEO of C-Suite. And today we're so blessed to have Liz Coronado with us, partner, Moses & Singer, LLP. Elizabeth is a chair of Intellectual Property, Entertainment, Media, and Technology Practice Group at Moses & Singer, LLP, and has a diverse practice focused on solving the legal and business issues affecting content creators, which is wonderful, and distributors across digital and traditional media platforms, which you probably found very interesting with the Sheeran issue that happened, that went on this last year. Anyway, so we would love to know more about you, Liz. Welcome to C-Suite, and Liz is a C-Suite member, so thank you for that.
Yay, Liz!
Yay!
Yay!
But tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you for inviting me to participate, both in C-Suite and in this podcast, which, believe it or not, is my first ever, so I appreciate kicking it off with you guys. So I actually, in terms of career, have had a pretty boring trajectory. I've been at Moses & Singer my entire career since I finished a judicial clerkship for the Honorable Robert Dumas in the Eastern District of Virginia in the early 90s, that's when I got out of law school. So I have spent, again, my entire career here, and I am now the chair of the, make sure I get it right, the Intellectual Property, Entertainment, Media, and Tech Practice Group here at the firm.
Wow.
Wonderful. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So look, in layman's terms, what does that mean you really do?
Well, we do, I do, our group does a little bit of everything, which to me covers, it does cover a ton of territory. It keeps it super interesting, although it requires a lot of studying, if you will, in terms of keeping on top of developments in the various industries in which we work. But it's never boring, and it sort of keeps me fresh. You don't get into the ticking boxes and filling in blanks, because if you're doing a production deal and then an influencer agreement and then reviewing an MSA and then reviewing ad copy, you don't really have time to get complacent. So what we do, sort of in three buckets. So we do a lot of work in the advertising space. So we assist advertisers, agencies, and PR firms with clearance, with compliance, with the execution of various campaigns and other initiatives, live events across various platforms and in real life. So we're involved at all stages. So ideation, creative development and production. We do talent engagement. We do copy review. We also advise entertainment and media companies on all aspects of development, creation, and exploitation of content, including rights acquisition. So what they call underlying rights agreements, development, production, licensing, and distribution. And then we also counsel clients with respect to clearance, protection, and enforcement of IP, and advise individuals and companies on various transactions as diverse as, you know, promotional marketing, contests, sweepstakes, giveaways, and social media and experiential marketing, and other live events.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. What's your favorite part?
I have to say, I really do enjoy a lot of it. I like getting involved behind the scenes. I like, you know, getting started at like the ideation stage and then seeing the final product, and whether the final product is a live event, whether the final product is a documentary, a narrative, a ad campaign. It's very gratifying to me to see. I've never wanted to be in front of the camera, so to speak. So I'm a consumer of creative content, music, film, books, but I know where my skill set ends, which is not in the creation of those things, but in helping the creators get their content to market in a way that protects them, respects other people's intellectual property rights, and allows them to monetize what they've created.
That's fabulous. Well, here you are on camera today.
Yeah, you did.
My 15 minutes finally happened.
It might be 20, though.
It might be 20. I won't hold that against you.
Okay, good. What is a really good success story that you've had?
Well, I mean, I feel lucky that I've had a lot of successes over my professional career. We are, Mosin Singer is like a very, what I consider to be a unique animal in the law firm space, especially in a city like New York. We're an independent firm, general practice. I've got super smart, very sophisticated colleagues in a very collegial atmosphere. And we've had a lot of clients that we've represented for literally decades. So over the years, there's been a lot of positives. And you feel like if the clients are sticking with you that long, you're doing something right. But there are two things that stick out in my memory over all these years. And anybody who knows me, who might be listening to this, knows I am a huge New York Football Giants fan.
Oh.
And
you and my husband.
Years ago, we represent a PR firm, super, super creative. And they, at the time, and this is all public information, they represented Kraft. And Kraft was launching a new macaroni and cheese product. And at the time, the Dallas Cowboys, who had started construction, finished construction on a new stadium, were going to demolish their old Texas stadium. And so this agency had the brilliant idea, it's Hunter Public Relations, again, this is all public information, had the brilliant idea of building the launch campaign around the demolition of Texas Stadium.
Oh.
So from my Giants fan heart, this was an opportunity not to be missed. But in terms of just the legal aspects, there were a lot of moving parts. We were doing this leading up to Christmas. I mean, the event itself was happening in the first quarter, I believe, of the year, but everything needed to get done by year end. And there was a contest component. We had to deal with the city of Irving. We had to deal with the Dallas Cowboys. People were going on vacation. It all came together beautifully. We were all running around like our hair was on fire, but the event was a huge success. The client was nice enough to invite me down, and I went down. I was not wearing any Giants gear, I will say. Not that was visible anyway.
Not exactly.
And not at this particular event. And it was just a highlight. Again, watching everything come together like that from the pitch stage to getting all of these entities together in enough time when everyone wanted to be on vacation for the holidays, and then having this event go off without a hitch. So that was probably highlight number one. And then highlight number two was a little bit more recent. We represent an ad agency called Gut. They're based out of Miami, although they have offices all over the world. And they were awarded Adweek's Breakthrough Agency of the Year and International Agency of the Year. And they were so gracious. They invited a colleague and I, who work with them a lot, to be featured in the article, because they very kindly said, "We can't do what we do without you. You are part of the team." And they did a whole, I have the photograph that we did a whole shoot.
See, there you go, your fame.
I guess that was another maybe five minutes of fame. But it was such a nice, very unexpected recognition of our contribution. And again, the fact that our clients look at us as members of the team, not, "Oh my God, whose turn is it to call the lawyers?"
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Wow. That's wonderful. And so you expressed some of your success stories, but in today's world with AI, are you getting involved in that with your clients?
We are. It's almost impossible to not be involved in AI, at least to have a awareness of what it is, what it can do, what it can't do, how it can be used as a tool, and what the rights limitations are around it. I think the one that is probably from a content creator side, the one that is most top of mind is the idea that the copyright law, as it's currently worded, the creator of a copyright has to be a person. It can't be software. So that is what is happening, even though, of course, a person has created the software. So the issues that are coming up with AI not only the training data that's used to train the generative AI, is that copyright infringement, but also the product of the AI, is it copyrightable? And as the law stands now, the answer is it's not.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
It's not. So maybe that brings us into, and I'm not clear even, like, why is protecting intellectual property so important? I mean, obviously all these issues are playing out right now. So why is it important?
IP has been around forever, although there's a level of awareness with it now that I feel like has not been maybe as prevalent as in the past as it has been. It's sort of forms the basis of a lot of what companies and individuals own as assets. In my area, the intellectual property, it's copyrights, trademarks, trade secrets. Patents are also a form of intellectual property, although I am not a patent lawyer, so I'm not even going to go out on that particular limb.
That's okay. We don't have any patents anyway.
That's perfect. Protecting intellectual property is sort of vital in encouraging creativity and innovation. So you're giving inventors, creators, innovators that are going to spend time and money into developing whatever the end product is, whatever the deliverable is, that they will be able to exploit that and reap whatever rewards there might be based on what they've created. It protects consumers when you're talking about, for example, trademarks, by ensuring authenticity of the products and services that they're purchasing. Counterfeiting, piracy can result in inferior goods and services and can also damage the legitimate brands whose good products and services are being pirated. Protecting IP fosters economic growth. It creates jobs. Tech, pharma, the entertainment space are huge contributors to job creation. It encourages growth of those industries and other industries by, again, to go back to what I mentioned earlier, by protecting your rights and protecting your rewards. It encourages R&D, I think particularly in the pharma space. It can be very expensive. And if you are not assured that you are going to be able to potentially make some of your money back after you have spent a lot of money in developing, you know, a drug, for example, the likelihood that people are going to do that is probably slim to none, right? It's altruistic, of course, but it's also, these are also businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hate to date myself, but I worked at Warner Music Group when Napster came out.
Oh, yes.
And we had that whole campaign against Napster.
And that gave a lot of litigators a lot of full employment for a while. Napster on both sides of it.
Yeah. So social media today. So how do you protect IP rights in social media? You know, when anybody can kind of, hi, let me just write something out there, right?
So I think there is a common misconception that, well, if it's available online, it's not protected. It is absolutely still protected. So it's a question of, and there's also the issue of on a particular platform, right? Are you complying with that platform's terms of service? But that's sort of that's more contract driven rather than intellectual property driven. So your post potentially is copyrightable. You upload a photo, your photo is copyrightable. But the terms of service of the particular platform provide protections for users that allow them to upload content without worrying that it's just going to be, you know, flagrantly ripped off. Where the line becomes difficult for clients or commercial entities is what individuals are allowed to do and what might be either protected or defensible if it's done by an individual is not usually permitted if it's done by an entity. So there's a distinction between non-commercial personal use and commercial use. So people will say, well, it's a meme. I should be able to repost it. I should be able to reshare it. And if you're an individual, you absolutely can. If you were using it for a commercial purpose, it's in a very gray area. So for a lot of our clients who are engaged in digital marketing, that is the bulk of what we are looking into for them.
Huh, interesting. So where are you focused this year? What is your organization that you manage focus this year? What are some of your items?
Yes, because Liz, we love Moses Singer, by the way. Moses Singer, let's hosted an event for C-Suite last year, which was amazing. And I believe you're hosting one for us again later this year.
We are. We hope to see a lot of people there.
Yeah. Liz, I had the true pleasure of getting to know Liz on a panel that we did. So yeah. So what is the focus this year besides C-Suite?
Well, the firm itself, like everybody's, I feel like everybody's talking about, you know, growth mode. So we are identifying the things that work and trying to build on that and leverage that. And then we are looking at the areas where we may want to focus a little bit less of our attention. Certainly, we just launched a data and AI practice, which takes advantage or recognizes the importance of data and AI. Independent film is certainly an area where we spend a lot of time. Digital marketing, experiential marketing. We have a lot of clients in that space. So it's really just kind of more of the same.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So what activities are you involved in the community? How do you keep yourself busy these days?
Yeah. What do you get to do for fun, Liz?
How do I keep myself out of trouble?
Besides going to the football games.
Yeah. For the Giants. Yeah, the Giants.
Exactly. Exactly. And you should see my office. I've got Giants paraphernalia everywhere. Well, I have to say a plug for my dad. My dad was a season ticket holder for over 50 years when he passed.
Aww.
And he was, it was, we're all now second generation. There were a group of 10 guys who all grew up in the Bronx. They decided in the late 50s, why not spend Sundays at the time Yankee Stadium, and then it was the Yale Bowl, and now all the kids took over. So we've all grown up together. It's like, it's a real community. It's really amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So speaking of community, so I sit on the board of a 24 years young, not-for-profit theater company called Keen Company, which I got to know when I attended their, I think it was one of their first performances years ago that got such a rave review that a friend and I were like, well, we have to see this. And now I'm the secretary of the board. I'm very actively involved in organizations like New York Women in Film and Television, INTA, which is the International Trademark Association, and the ANA, which is the Association of National Advertisers. I'm a proud member of C-Suite,
yep,
as you noted, and Chief. I am also a huge, and I can imagine if I have friends that are listening to this, all their eyes are going to roll. I am a huge animal lover.
Yay, that's me.
Particularly of the feline variety.
Yeah, Mr. Fuggles.
Right. We met your Abby, your Abyssinian the other day. So I volunteer, I foster, and I support a number of local rescues, including Flatbush Cats, Bronx Tales is another local rescue, Bronx Community Cats. Just there's a lot of people on the ground doing some amazing work. Puppy Kitty, Little Wanderers. But I also am involved with North Shore, Best Friends, Bidawee. That's sort of my passion. That I found something that really feeds my soul. So that's the way I give back. But I also do, I'm an avid traveler. I have a group of friends. We call ourselves the Nomads, a little silly, but it is what it is. Most of us met traveling and we try to go off the grid once a year. I'm a big skier. And as I mentioned earlier, like I love entertainment. I love going to theater, movies. I'm a very avid reader. So that's what I do to keep myself out of trouble.
That's good. You have a very full life.
Well, which explains why I'm tired all the time.
Liz, oh my gosh, especially your work with the animal community. Thank you. Liz Corradino, partner with Moses and Singer, the law firm. How do people reach you, Liz?
Well, they can check our website, which is www.mosessinger.com. My email is ecorradino@mosessinger.com, LinkedIn. And, you know, believe it or not, we also have landlines. So it's anyone wants to call, 212-554-7892.
Good for you.
And it rings, and you're in the Chrysler Building too, which I think is the coolest thing.
Yes. And I'm actually in the office. I like to, now that we're back, I am fully back. I like my setup here and I don't have cats running across the keyboard.
Right. There you go. And wanting pets and wanting to be
exactly.
fed.
Exactly.
It's good. So thank you. Thank you to our sponsors, City National Bank, the law firm of Manette, Uncle Nearest, which is a female-owned spirits company and fantastic. Advertising media and PR companies of Interpublic Group, IPG, and my firm, which is Amplify Professional Services. We do executive search and IT consulting. Thank you for listening. Beth, you want to take us home here?
Yeah, so hit the subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you find podcasts, C-Suite Talks. Leave us a review. We're on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you, beth@csweet.org. And check out our website and come and be active. www.csweet.org. And thank you for listening today. And thank you, Liz, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.